Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Are you ready tonight? Our time is limited. Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord. Ask Him to minister to you. Tonight is my first night, and so I'll just be laying foundations. But ask the Lord to talk to your heart tonight. Ask Him to speak to you. You want to hear sounds of eternity. We are not beings of time. We are creatures of eternity. We are sent into time to run an errand for a God that is eternal. And our lives begin to count when the echoes of eternity begins to align with the vibrations of our souls. Can you ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight? Tell Him to talk to you from the core of your being. Thank you, Father. We bless you, we honor you, we magnify your name. Lord, we ask again tonight that you speak to our hearts. We ask for an encounter. We ask for transformations. We ask for transfigurations. Lord, even as we receive your engrafted word with meekness tonight, we ask that it will bring higher levels of salvation and experience. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. You may be seated. Glory to God. The music minister is a man of fire. My goodness, the intensity was something else. I wish it's my second night so I can just fly, but tonight is the first night. I just want to explain a few things and trust the Lord to build upon it tomorrow as we ascend into higher realms in God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 13 verse 11. I'll begin from the anchor scripture. I'll just be laying foundations tonight because there is so much to build. And so I'll take it very gently and very calmly tonight. Romans 13 verse 11. Are we projecting the scriptures? I just read it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lagos is an experience. Sometimes I wonder how you do it. You have to be sent here to come here. You have to be sent here. Glory to God. Romans 13 verse 11. That's our anchor scripture. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It said, knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. He said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let me add another scripture to this scripture as I try to define the path that I'll be taking in the course of this conference. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. You know, some of the scriptures we'll be reading in this conference are scriptures that border on the seasons that we are in. We are in the end times. Many are not aware. And the Bible said, if the trumpet sounds an unusual sound, it says, who will prepare for battle? Many are not aware the times that we are in, and so they cannot define the operations. They cannot understand the way things are happening, and they are not preparing themselves adequately to survive the times and to be relevant in God's agenda. So this meeting will afford us an opportunity to look into the times and to know how to align ourselves according to God's plan and program for the human race, so that our lives can count not only in time but in eternity. Ephesians 5:14, it says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There are three things that stands out from the scriptures we have read. The first thing that stands out is the great slumber. There are many that are asleep. And so Zion had to sound an alarm to wake men up, because many are asleep. And you know, the Bible says, woe unto him who is at ease in Zion. And so if you are asleep in Zion, you are like somebody who is cursed. It's a woe unto him who is at ease in Zion. In the times when kings go to war, if you find yourself sleeping, you become a casualty. And so the Bible is telling us that there is a trumpet in Zion. There's an alarm being sounded in Zion for those who are asleep to wake up, because there will be consequences for sleeping at this time. Praise God. And so the first thing the Bible reveals to us from this scripture is that many are asleep, and they are so asleep that God has to wake them up with a trumpet. And you see, the kind of sleep the Bible is talking about here is not just a sleep you sleep to wake up by an alarm clock. An alarm clock will not suffice for this kind of sleep, because it caused this kind of sleep death. It says, awake from the dead. So this is the kind of sleep that is equivalent to one who is dead. And I will tell you what death in this context implies. And so the first thing we'll be studying in this conference during my session is the great sleep, the great slumber. The reason many are not fulfilling destiny. The reason many will not count when time is accomplished. The reason the existence of many will count for nothing. Because we are pilgrims here. This is not our home. We are passing through time. But it will be unfortunate to sleep through time. Because when you return to Zion, your existence would have been a waste. Imagine if you were traveling maybe to Houston, and you had to pass through London, and there is a 4-hour layover, and then you sleep off, the flight goes. You will become a stranger. You will be a wanderer. Because there is no allocation for you in London. You are not a citizen. You don't have enough resources to survive. So when you see Christians who are stranded on earth, this is the reason. They are asleep in transit. And because they are asleep in transit, they are not citizens of earth. There's no allocation for them. Number two, they don't have enough resources to survive. And so what the devil will do is that he will write a new destiny for them. And you see, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So everything the devil gives you will lead you to destruction and death. This is why this kind of sleep is called death. And so many are walking, but they are walking corpse. They are dead. They cannot pick the signals of heaven. They cannot align to their kingdom. They cannot draw from their realm. The resources for their survival is not in this realm. It's in another aeon. Their job is to leap out of time like mist into Zion and draw resources from there. It is the resources they are able to draw from heaven that gives them advantage in time. Unfortunately, they are asleep when kings go to war. So we need to understand the great sleep, so you will know why your life is the way it is. The second thing the Bible reveals there is the power that binds men. The power. Because this kind of sleep is a sleep that is orchestrated by a power. That's why you need a trumpet to wake up. If you sleep naturally, when it's daybreak, you will wake up. But when a power keeps you asleep. You need another power to wake you up. You know, when you are about to undergo a major operation and they give you an anesthetic, you, even if you feel like waking up, you won't wake up until the influence of that drug wears away. If you have to wake up, then another drug will have to wake you up. So this kind of sleep is orchestrated by a power. So you need to understand the power you need to wake up, and so that you begin to align to those powers. Because if you don't know those powers, when those powers begin to come into your ecosystem, you will not respond. The reason many are still sleeping is because when what is to wake them up approached them, they didn't recognize it. And so they didn't catch it. And because they didn't catch it, they remained in the grave of slumber. So we need to understand the powers that wake men from slumber. And every one of us seated here, at one point or the other, that power has knocked on our doors. If we are still sleeping, it's because we don't know the protocol of the operations of those powers. And then the third thing that the scripture reveals there, it is the shine of Christ. He said, awake from the dead, and he said, Christ will give you light. So even though Christ wants to help you, Christ cannot help you until you wake up. So the light of Christ will shine on you when you wake up from the dead. And so there is glory waiting for you to manifest. But a man of slumber cannot manifest glory. It is when you wake up that the light of Christ will begin to shine on you. Remember, in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, it said, arise, shine. So shining is after arise. If you don't arise, you cannot shine. He said, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I wish we have time to study the compartments of glory, so you will know what Christ has made available to us. He said, eyes have not seen. He said, ears have not heard. He said, neither has it occurred to the hearts of men, the things that God has in store for you. You know, when you pray and God intervenes, you call it a blessing. That's not God's plan. God's plan is not to intervene in your life. God's plan is for you to become the revelation of his intervention. You know, but you can't walk in that glory. You can't walk in that glory until you wake up. And so one of the greatest causes of humankind is the great slumber. The sleep that keeps us in our grave. And so we need to understand what we need to do to break the power of that sleep. If we are able to achieve that, then everybody will walk out of this conference as a champion. Because in the kingdom of God, there are no servants. In the kingdom of God is the kingdom of kings and kings. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There are no servants. We only serve him as our master. But we are also kings in our own right. Because we were born to operate in his class and in his order. So every one of you seated here is supposed to be a king, to reign in life. But if you are not reigning in life, it means something is wrong. You are not allowing your light shine on you. And what will stop the light from shining on you is when you remain in the state of slumber. And so number one, we need to understand what the slumber is. Number two, we need to understand how to align with the powers that wakes us up. And number three, we need to know how to receive the light of Christ so that we can shine in our world. If we are able to achieve that, 10 of us is enough for Lagos. You discover that Lagos is too small. That 10 of us can shut down Lagos. 10. One will go into the academia. One will go into music. One will go into government. And you will come with a glory that the world has never seen. The reason we are the way we are is because we have not allowed Christ to mingle with us until we reflect him. Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. So when you meet a Christian, every Christian is supposed to be the reflection of a dimension of Christ. When we meet you, we should see something of Christ in you. And that becomes the definition of your life. But that will only happen when you arise so that you can shine. So let's begin our journey. I'm seeing the timer. I know the way. Lagos is a strange city. You have grace to be here. Some of us, we don't have that grace yet. So we are hiding in Abuja. It takes a lot of grace to be here. We left the hotel and they said the church is not far. Now I understand. I thought not far is the dictionary definition. I don't know not far in Lagos means something else. Not far can be 2 hours. 2 hours is not far. But where I come from, 2 hours journey is a very far journey. So now we are going to redefine our terms. Hallelujah. So let's look at the sleep aspect of our study. The first thing I want to look at under this studying sleep, spiritual sleep. Why does the devil want you asleep? Why? Why does the devil pay so much price to keep you asleep? Because it takes a lot to keep a warrior sleeping. Because we were created as warriors. We were created as kings. We were created in the order and in the class of God. It takes a lot to keep a warrior sleeping. Why does the devil go through the pain and spend so much resources to keep you asleep? I give you 3 reasons. Number one, because his programs can only be instituted when you are asleep. When you are awake, the agenda of the devil is truncated. The devil cannot walk if we are awake. The Bible said, why men slept? He said the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. The grasses cannot be planted when you are awake. Now, the Bible said before we were formed in our mother's womb, it said God knew us. He ordained us for a specific purpose. Now, what the Bible is talking about is the reality that took place before earth was created. And so before the foundation of the earth was created, God sat down and he knew everyone that will walk on the face of the earth in the dispensations that will walk. And so the way God sends his own errand is through men. And so when he was injecting you into your mother's womb, allocating you into your generation, there is an errand injected in your spirit. Imagine before time began, God sat down and God knew your own lineage. Imagine how many people has come out of your own lineage. Your lineage alone. You may be the 100th generation. And in every generation, the number increased. And God sat down and injected programs into every one of us. And at the right dispensation, he transports us through the gate of the womb into time. And the devil knows that he doesn't have power to go into the studio of eternity where destinies are created. Because the devil himself is a created being. He is limited. No matter how smart he is, he cannot pass into eternity and enter the studio. There is a place called, let us make man in our own image. Genesis 1:26 is a spiritual location. It's a studio where only the Godhead is permitted to enter. Even angels don't go there. Because the wisdom required to put your DNA together, only God has access to it. Angels don't go there. No being goes there. Only God has the power to travel back into time and enter into a studio that is eternal to couple you together. Your brain alone has more than 1 billion neurons. Your brain. And every cell in your body is bigger than the galaxies. One cell. And you have more than 1 billion cells in your body. Now, what God put together, the machine he built called man, when God himself finished, he looked at it and he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because it is only man that has the capacity to host God. Before man came, God was looking for a dwelling place. He said, where is the place of my dwelling? Even heaven cannot accommodate him. He said, the earth is his footstool. But when he created man, he said, let him be my image and my likeness. And when Christ came to model the first man, he said, he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus bodily. And when you were created, the Bible said, this is the mystery of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ, and then Christ is in you. Who are you?
The God that the heaven can't accommodate, the earth can't accommodate, he is in Christ. And then Christ is in you. Who are you? Because the devil knows he doesn't have enough power to go to where DNAs are coupled. What he does is that he waits in time. And so when the man comes into time, what he does is that he gives him a sedating agent. And so when the man takes it, the man falls asleep. And so now he comes to edit the program of God. So he said, why men slept, the enemy sowed tares in the midst of the wheat. When you came into the world, you were ordained a prophet. But while you were sleeping, the devil changed your destiny and turned you to a soothsayer. You were created to come into the world as a leader who will function in the order of a king. But before you came, the devil went through your grandfather and programmed something because he was asleep. And you came, you too were asleep, and you gave him permission, and he turned a king into a slave. He said, I have seen abomination on the face of the earth. He said, kings, princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. So there's an abomination the devil brings into the human ecosystem that he entered into the program God created, and he edited the program and perverted it. But the reason he had so much liberty to do it is because men slept. Men slept. So a warrior can become a victim. A king can become a servant. A prophet can become a fornicator. And a ruler can become a slave. Because men slept. When the Bible said, awake, awake, he was trying to restore divine program. He was trying to reprogram what the devil altered. And so the cry for an awakening is a cry for the program of God to find expression. The first reason why the devil wants men asleep is so that he can inject his own program. He doesn't have what it takes to go where to where destinies are formulated. And so he will wait for destinies to manifest so that he can alter them. But he will not be able to alter them until men sleep. Number two, why is your slumber so important to the devil? Number two, the only way the devil can take over a territory is when men are asleep. Because when you change the program, there has to be a place for it to manifest. I'm telling you about Lagos. You know, some people came into Lagos, they say they are looking for job opportunity. They don't know that Lagos is a busy place in the spirit realm. They don't know the princes that rule in the territory. And so they came into Lagos innocent. But after 4 years, they have become masters of swindling and manipulation. They don't even know when it happened because they came under an ecosystem. And in that ecosystem, there is a law in the atmosphere. You must obey that law to survive. So the devil allows men to sleep so that he can take over territories, dominate those territories, and establish his laws in those territories. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. I want to give you scripture so that you read them. Don't worry, tonight is our first night. Tomorrow night will come explosive. He said, be sober. What does that mean? Be awake. Be conscious. He said, be vigilant. This is double emphasis. Be sober. Be vigilant. He said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Be vigilant. You have an enemy. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You know, you think the only time you can have a problem with somebody is when you have misunderstanding. Before there was ever a misunderstanding, there is somebody who made himself your enemy. The Bible calls him your adversary. And instead, this your adversary has the character of a lion that devours. So he doesn't know how to show mercy. He's aggressive and ferocious. And his anger does not diminish. The propensity of his wickedness is ever increasing. It is natural to him to be wicked. He's moving like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you see, the way the devil devours men is not just to eat them up. It's to create a territorial program. So that when they are gone, even their children will enter the trap.
most of you, the battles you are fighting now is the battles your great-grandfather created. Because he needed money urgently, he went and buried a virgin. And because he did that, there is a blood crying against your lineage. When you came, you didn't know anything happened. But the one who devours systematically. And so he took over an atmosphere. He took over an environment. I'm showing you the things that the light of Christ will break off your life. That's why when you awake, Christ will have to shine on you. If Christ does not shine on you, the territory will still be in darkness. Isaiah 26. Look at verse 9. Isaiah 56 verse 9 and 10. See what the Bible said. I'm showing you some things that are happening overhead that we came into innocently, not aware. Now, when men slept, see what the princes began to do. They began to invite more wicked spirits. He said, all ye beasts of the field, come and devour. That's why I told you, the devil devours systematically. He said, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. He said, come. He said, his watchman is blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, and loving slumber. So when you sleep, the demon that came to make you sleep will not do anything. He will now go out and blow a trumpet and say, if there's any wicked spirit here who is looking for where to take dominion and to destroy, come, I've created an atmosphere. I've secured the territory. I've gotten a chamber. And so even spirits that have no business with you, they will be invited to come. And so every spirit will gang up to make sure that destiny does not work. How do you see a young man? Him alone is a womanizer. Him alone is a drug addict. Him alone pulled out of school. Him alone cannot do any business. And every day he's looking for something to smoke. One man, different influence. How can that destiny manifest? You meet that person, which one will you start with? Is it the womanizing you will start with? Or the drugs that he injects in his blood? Or the smoking? Or the stealing? Or the lying? So you see that one person is a compendium of problems because many spirits were invited. And they are using that man as a gate to achieve their purpose. If Christ does not shine his light, that person is doomed. Because the day you want to help him, one other one will manifest. You take him out of the street, you say, let me give you a home. You are the first person he will gang up with to kill. You find somebody stranded on the road, you say, let me help this young man. You now bring him home. The next thing, he hears that you are bringing money to the house. That thing will wake up inside him. He will now quickly tell people, my old guy is bringing money. And then he will be the person to open the gate at night so that they will kill you. He will run away, spend that money in 2 weeks and go back to where he was. And then you are asking, I wanted to give you a future. Won't you think it's not his fault? All the beasts of the field have been invited. And he cannot but do their biddings. He cannot but fulfill their agenda. He cannot but play out their purposes. So the devil takes over territories when men sleep, so that he can devour. Third reason, why does the devil want men asleep? Because the cry of the bridegroom is at midnight. When God comes, he does not come based on human schedule. He comes based on his own schedule. And so the devil knows that if you are asleep, when God is bringing deliverance, you may never know. And so in order for you never to find your salvation, he will insist that you remain asleep. Matthew 25, verse 5 to 6. Hear what the Bible said. People were waiting for God aggressively. He said, why the bridegroom tarried? Because they thought it would be according to their own timetable. He doesn't come at your timetable. He comes at his own timetable. He said, the bridegroom tarried. He said, they now slumbered and slept. Verse 6, at midnight, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The devil wants you asleep because he knows your salvation comes at an unexpected time. And so maybe it is when you are drinking beer and you are drunk, that's when the person who is supposed to help you shows up and is asking a question. But at that time, you are arrogant. What he needs to see in you is courtesy. But you see, you are drunk. So you cannot recognize your helper. Even though he's trying so hard to help you, you are asleep. You are in the state of slumber. And because the devil knows that your answers will always come in disguise, he will make sure that he puts you to sleep so that you don't recognize it. I can tell you today, most of the people who are frustrated in life, they have had opportunities of intervention many times, but they didn't recognize the opportunities because their opportunities came in disguise. It didn't come the way they should have expected it. The devil will put you to sleep so that he can plant his program, so that he can take over your territory, and so that you cannot see your salvation when your salvation appears. Having said this, what is a spiritual slumber? What is sleep? This sleep we are talking about, is this something you go home and lie on your bed? No, it's deeper than that. There are many things that defines spiritual slumber. But because I don't have time, I give you four of them very quickly. Number one, spiritual slumber is spiritual blindness. A state where you lack discernment. The devil takes off discernment from your life. So you cannot see anything spiritually. You see everything naturally. And all your answers come spiritually. It will take the eyes of the spirit to see your salvation. But you see, when the devil reduces you to carnal mindedness, he has blinded you. And when he blinds you, there is no way you can recognize your salvation if it comes. I can tell you today, even those who are in church, more than 70% are natural men. They are carnally minded. They function by the traditions of their fathers. You ask them, they say, we are Igbos. We don't do like that. We are Idomas. We don't do like this. We are Yorubas. We don't do like this. Your answer does not recognize Igbo or Yoruba. Your answer is spiritual. And so if you want to receive your answer, you must ascend beyond the threshold of the natural man and watch in the spirit to pick your answer. If you reduce yourself to ethnic values, if you reduce yourself to the systems that society have designed, you have cut yourself off from God's intervention. It is called the state of carnality, the state of the natural man. You can be saying you are Igbo, you are Igbo. Your greatest answer may come from a Yoruba man. If you don't have discernment, you will kick your answer away. You may say you are high-minded, you are a big man. Your biggest answer may come from a servant. It will take discernment to recognize the disguise of spiritual intervention. If you don't have discernment, you are gone. So most men who are asleep, they are asleep because they are blinded. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, hear what the Bible said. It said to be carnally minded is death. It said but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when the devil wants men asleep, he makes them carnal. So a man can be driving but he's sleeping. A man can be dancing but he's sleeping. You know why? He's blinded. He cannot pick spiritual signals. It is spiritual signals that will tell a billionaire your house gear is your salvation. It is spiritual signal that will tell a Hausa man that your solution is an Igbo man. It is spiritual signal that will tell somebody in London that your answer is in Nigeria. If you don't know, you will revert the protocol of your destiny. Many people are going towards the UK. It doesn't mean if you go there, you will survive. Go there if you are led. You can go there and be frustrated and run back, but your season would have passed. You don't have discernment. You will do what everybody is doing. It's when you start your own that the gate will be shut. And you will discover that even when you come back, there's no door for you anymore. Because the moment you left, nature abhors vacuum. Somebody else will enter. So even where you were standing, you will lose your ground. And so when the devil wants a generation to sleep, he makes them to become carnally minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 14. He said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world. So we know the things that are freely given to us by God. In verse 14, he said, the carnal man, he said, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
When you are asleep, you lose discernment. When you are asleep, you can no longer see from the realm of God. You know, in the last days, one of the greatest weapons of the devil is deception. Because he wants to blind men. They asked Jesus in Matthew 24 verse 1. He said, what shall be the sign of the end time? What shall be the sign of your coming? What shall be the sign of the end of the world? And before Jesus answered, he said, be careful. Verse 4. Matthew 24 verse 4. He said, let no man deceive you. Because blindedness will be the greatest undoing of men in the last day. Their eyes will be open, but they cannot see. Because though they are awake, they are asleep. Until God awakens them spiritually. And so when you find people going the way of blindness, you can tell that they are asleep. They can no longer know their help. They can no longer find their intervention. And so the first way to identify a man who is asleep is when he is carnally minded. Ephesians 4:17 and 18. Here's what the Bible says. It says, do not walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. It said they have their understanding darkened. And because their understanding is darkened, it said they cannot receive the commonwealth of Israel. They cannot receive the blessings that God has made available. And so anything that darkens your understanding has put you to sleep. Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their minds. The second way to identify a man who is asleep is one who is weak in the spirit. Weak. He doesn't have energy for spiritual things. When you discover that your energy for spiritual things begins to go down, know that you're already joining the path of sleep. And eventually, you will die. You know what the devil does? He comes to weaken you from within. You can sit down and watch movies for 10 hours. You can be on Facebook and chat for 10 hours. But the moment you kneel down to say, Father, you sleep off. You carry the Bible. You know what? Energy has been depleted. You are dying from inside. You want to find a man who is asleep? He doesn't have energy to engage God. He doesn't have power in the spirit. He can sit with his friend and gossip from morning till night. He enjoys it. In fact, he's in his elements. When he's gossiping somebody, he's agile, he's strong. But the moment you tell him, let's go out for evangelism, all his energy goes down immediately. That's the man who is asleep. If he's not yet going through crisis, it's because the devil doesn't have his time yet. You know, the devil is not God. He doesn't have all the resources he needs. So what the devil does is that he sets men on timetable. He visits men at different times. He said there's an evil day. There's an evil day. The devil doesn't visit everybody at the same time. Only God has the power to visit everybody at the same time. The devil's resources are limited. And so he waits for the day that he can do much damage to you. That's the day he comes. And so if you don't have energy for spiritual things now, you may say, come on, those things don't matter. It don't matter. Look at my life. I'm doing well. Your timetable has not come. The demons are looking at you and laughing. They know you are not wise. Your timetable has not come. Your timetable may come 20 years later. Have you not seen professors, after laboring for 30 years, they are going home for Christmas. And a girl of 10 years is sent from the demonic coven for IT, spiritual IT. They are teaching her how to somersault vehicle. And a girl of 10 years stands on the road and does like this. And the car somersault. And the professor, his wife, and four children dies. And then you are wondering, what happened? They were waiting for him. When he went to the university, did his first degree, did second degree, did third degree, they were waiting. No, it's not yet time. He now began to lecture. And he lectured for 30 years. That is the day his calendar came. And he doesn't have energy. If he had energy, maybe that morning, while he was praying, he would have picked a signal. Don't go out. That one signal is more important than the last 30 years of his life. If he had energy, while he's praying, something would have woke up on his inside. So when he stands up, as he's going, the power will stop him. He will want to go, he will stop. He will want to go, he will stop. Because signals in the spirit, things are moving. This is not the right day to go out. And the man will go back home. That going back home is the salvation of 6 family members. But when there's no energy, you cannot journey in the spirit. Different things are in different locations in the spirit. Your answer, they are different places. The Bible said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It will take energy for you to journey there. And so if you don't journey to where favor is, you may never find it. If you don't journey to where wisdom for financial breakthrough is, you will never have it. If you don't journey to where spiritual intervention is, you will never find it. And so, when you are exercising in the spirit, you are traveling somewhere. You are traveling somewhere. You will journey, you will come to where favor is. You will wear it as a garment. And so, 10 people can go for an interview. They reject them. When you come with an aroma. I wish you know these things by experience. 30 pastors can be preaching, but when you cough, everybody wants to hear. And then you are wondering, what is this? It's a power. You found it when you were digging into God. They say, with joy, you draw waters from the wells of salvation. There are many waters there, but you draw it. You draw it. It will take power. There are certain things in God that you will press for 2 years before it breaks open. You are there, you are pressing. You are there, you are pressing. And suddenly the door breaks open, you enter. And then something happens to you in 24 hours that is more important than the last 10 years. And people look at you, they say you are lucky. There's nothing like luck. Anything you see happening in a man's life is the revelation of the location he has been in the spirit. Our manifestations are a testimony of our journeys in the spirit. When you go there, it will come out with you. There's a place where power dwells. There's a place where influence dwells. There's a place where wisdom dwells. When you go there, you come out with it. And when you come out with wisdom, you may be young, but you are older than your age. Because what you are operating with is ancient. You can sit down in your studio and cook a beat. That one beat you created from your studio, they will buy it for 10 million naira. It's not about your age. It's about where you have traveled to. You can say something that is older than your great grandfather. And men will hear you and say, by what spirit does he carry these oracles? Because your words are no longer words. They have become laws in the spirit. And when you talk, your generation must hear you. It is a power, but it's in a location in the spirit. When the devil wants to reduce the quality of your existence, he depletes your energy. So you can no longer journey. You know, the Bible says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, but it's according to the power at work on your inside. When that power weakens, the quality of your life goes down. Although God is sovereign, he will not be able to do. God is able to do according to the power at work on your inside. If there's no power at work on your inside, God will not be able to do. And so when you find men who are asleep, they don't have spiritual energy. They sleep on God. Anything that has to do with God weakens them. And they don't know why their lives is up and down. But find a man who has found strength in the presence. He said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from wisdom to wisdom, from power to power, from realms to realms, from grace to grace. And people look at you, they say, what is happening? You say, I'm just traveling. I'm just traveling. I'm just traveling. There are some things you cannot find until you go to Dubai. No matter how much money you have to go to Dubai to find it. There are some things you cannot find until you go to Beijing, China. No matter how much money you have, those things are not in your location. They are not in Lagos. You must travel to bring them. You may have all the money in Lagos, but those things are not in Lagos. If you can't go to China, you can't find them. And if you cannot go, you have to buy from those who go. You buy. But you know the disadvantage with buying? Any amount they charge you, you will pay. That's why some people have to kneel down for others. Because there is one who has capacity another doesn't have. And so you need honor to draw it from the person. You will need service to draw it from the person. If you are proud, you will die. Have you not seen our rich man? I want to buy a diamond of so amount of weight. They say you can't find it in Nigeria. It's only in Dubai. Bring it for me. Pay this money. You have no choice. You must pay. And if you don't pay, you too travel. And so if you want your life to be unapologetically successful, build energy. Build energy. Build energy. I told myself some years ago, I was looking for power. Nobody who had it will open his door for me. You will call, they will not pick. I used to be offended. And God told me, stop wasting your time. They have it. You don't have it. So you call somebody, you are angry. All these men of God, they cannot pick. Why are they not picking? Because they think they are important. Oh God, they have something. It's either you are patient to keep calling, or you too build energy. Alakoa. Build energy. My brother was sick. I didn't have power to address sickness. I called many people. They didn't pick. My brother died. And from the day he died, I told myself, I call nobody no more. Anywhere power dwells, I will travel there. And I began a 5 years fast. Every day, 6 to 6, I break in the evening, I continue the next day. I break in the evening, I continue the next day. On one occasion, as I was praying, my wall opened. And light came out of the wall. Light, like a fluorescent ball. That was when I knew that the wall can only limit man, not spirit. And the light entered me. The first layer of power that came to me was wisdom. And I could sit down and say things that people read and they don't know. Because light had appeared to me. At another point, I sat in my room and I started feeling heat on different parts of my body. And as I began to inquire in the spirit, that was when God told me, your ordinations are waking up. You are a revivalist. You carry the flames of glory. And so what they were doing, they were charging me up. And as they were charging me, a point came when I speak, my walls became like balls of fire. All those things were potentials, but I needed to travel. That was when I discovered that in my lineage, people didn't have energy to engage God. And so the cure of the issue was to build power in the spirit. I was praying and the wall of my room disappeared. And I saw two creatures standing. One had 10 horns. The other one was like a corpse that was decayed and was removed from the grave. And the angel that was talking to me told me, these are the principalities that bind men in your village. And he took me to my father's compound and he started showing me people of different generations and the things they used to rope them. Pride, humanization, drunkenness, and lying. He said, if you are able to resist these things, he said, you will be great, whether men like it or not. So I discovered greatness is not a gift. Greatness is an entrustment. What if I didn't journey to where that angel was? How would I have known that my key for greatness is to avoid 4 things? But it will take power to go there. When the devil wants to keep you asleep, it takes spiritual energy from your spirit. See, somebody will leave this conference, you will tell yourself, I die on the altar. Nothing carries me from God's presence. You will be there, sleep, wake up, remain there. We hungry, eat, come back, stay there. If you are there after a while, the fountains of the great deep will begin to open. Don't live there, stay there. That's where your salvation is. When you are there long enough, you will be summoned. You will be summoned. Because you can't enter on your own. You have to be summoned. But you need energy to tarry long enough for the door, the shout to come. You know what happened to John? The Bible said they threw him to the island of Patmos. The word Patmos means death. They threw him there so that he would be frustrated. But John knew the secret. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And he was there until suddenly he said, I heard the sound of a trumpet. As I turned, he was summoned. You need spiritual energy. If you lack spiritual energy, know that you are in the grave. That's the devil's way of burying men. The fourth definition of sleep
is to be enslaved by your desires. When a man's desires become his God, that man is dead. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 6, it said, him that liveth for pleasure, he said he is dead while he is walking. He is dead. He is dead. When your desire masters you, you are finished. We were not created to live based on our desires. We were created to live by faith. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it said we walk by faith, not by sensory perception, not by feelings, not by desires. The difference between us and animals is that animals live by their desires. A goat can sleep with his mother, a he-goat. So long as there's desire, all they need to do is to satisfy it. But we don't live by feelings. Feelings come to appetize our existence. However, we walk by faith. We walk by faith. When a man is mastered by his desires, he becomes a slave. And so the devil knows that it is given to men to pursue desires. And so what he does is that he begins to energize desires that are against your destiny. And when you fuel those desires, you discover you begin to depart from God's program for your life. That's why in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, they that love the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in them. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. A man who is awake is one who controls his feelings. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, he said, I beat my body. I bring my body under subjection. That's a man who is awake. His desires does not control him. But can I shock you? Many Christians are ruled by their desires. That's why, if you like, bring them to 10 impartation service. The devil is waiting for them in the beer parlor. Lay hands on them. Pour a drum of oil. Don't worry. After Sunday, he will meet me here on Monday evening. I'm waiting for him. If you like, lay hands on the person. Carry your jacket. Clothe the person. After 2 weeks, he's going to the brothel to look for the harlot. Because the moment his desire comes, he becomes a slave. And so even though he's looking at his destiny, he can never touch it. Because a slave of desire is a man who is already in the grave, even though he's breathing. Some are controlled by their anger. They use 10 years to build something. They use 1 day to destroy it. And then they come back, they say, I don't know why. Their desires, their emotions, their appetites have mastered them. It's a state of death. Any man who is desires rule is a man who is asleep to reality. Finally, a man who is asleep is a man who is controlled by the oppressive power of the devil. When the devil cannot use things to control you, he shows up himself. And that's where you see people who are demonized. So the devil literally subverts and subjugates their will. Even though they want to, they cannot. The devil is not just using things. He has possessed them. And he makes them a slave. So they can never fulfill destiny. And so when we talk about spiritual slumber, we are talking about spiritual blindness. A state of no discernment. When we talk about spiritual slumber, we are talking about spiritual weakness. A state when a man cannot exercise himself in godliness. When we talk about spiritual slumber, we are talking about a state of demonic oppressions where a man is literally ruled and his will is subjugated by demons. And when we talk about spiritual slumber, we are talking about a state where your appetites have become your God. Your belly have become your God. If you are in these 4 states, you can never fulfill God's plan for your life. And the only answer that God has for you is for you to awake. He said, awake, awake from the dead. He said, and Christ will give you life. What are the weapons the devil uses? Number one, deception. Number two, lust and pleasure.
Number three, distraction. Number four, sin and iniquity. The reason you can be held by the power of slumber is because you allow these four weapons to rule over you. Deception, lust, distraction, sin and iniquity. There are some people who are not sinning, but they are distracted. There are some people who are not sinning, but they are deceived. They believe that anything you say from the Bible is a lie. It's an attempt to either take money from them or to confuse them. And so they say, you and your Bible stay somewhere else. Meanwhile, this is the oldest book of inspiration on earth. This is the most probed book on earth. And no book can survive even scholastic tests as much as the Bible. But you are reading the Bible, they say, no, we are done with the Bible. They are deceived. They are deluded. It's a sign of defeat in the last day. And so if you don't want to be a slave of slumber, you must win the battle over deception. You must win the battle over lust. You must win the battle over distraction. And you must win the battle over sin and iniquity. Because these are the powers the devil uses to enslave men. Some people can go for a retreat for 40 days on the mountain. The moment they come back, they go and gather three seasonal movies and they start watching. After 40 days retreat, prayer and fasting, they enter their phone immediately, TikTok. And this TikTok is not a message. They watch a comedian, they finish from a comedian, they see somebody who is naked doing something, they go and see a movie thriller, they just junk up their spirit in 5 minutes. 10 hours of waiting on God, all of the energy that is built up is depleted in 5 minutes. And so they just wasted the whole day because of 5 minutes. They have no power over distraction. If distraction is in you, if lust is in you, if sin and iniquity is in you, and if deception has taken a root in you, whether you like it or not, the devil will keep you in the state of slumber. When God wants to awaken you, he introduces you to another kind of power. My time is finished. I wanted to use tonight to lay foundation. Tomorrow, I will begin in the morning by showing you the powers that God introduces as an alarm system when he wants to awake a man from the grave. Now, all of these things are happening before Christ will shine his light on you. He said, it's when you awake that Christ will give you light. So if you are asleep, even if the light comes, it won't profit you. And so first of all, you need to understand everything there is to know about sleep. Then you know how to take the power that is available. Tomorrow, I will teach you the powers that awake men from their slumber. The first of that power is what I call spiritual hunger. These things, they are not things you can generate at will. They come to you. You know, hunger is like a law in the spirit. You can't break it. It is the authority of God that sucks you out of a corrupt world and brings you into his hallowed chamber. Power is an ability that pulls you out of the grave, takes you out of the world system, and pulls you in the direction of God. You will discover that when hunger takes over you, you can't control yourself. The same way you are hungry as a man, nothing makes sense to you. That's how when you become spiritually hungry, nothing else will also make sense to you. Hope you know you don't give yourself hunger. You wake up in the morning, you are agile. When it's 12, an alarm begins on your inside. When you endure, it becomes 4 p.m., it becomes stronger. By 6 o'clock, even if your best friend is talking, you say, Oh boy, wait. Any food day here? You have to eat something first. If you don't eat after that one day, the next day, they need to carry you. They will tell you, see, there are some files to sign. You say, which file? You will carry your pen. The pen will fall down. You will say, wait, let me eat first. Where am I supposed to sign? Your eyes will start being dizzy. You will look at the place to sign. There will be 7. You won't know where to put your pen. Because
If you don't satisfy hunger, you can do nothing. And so the first thing God does in order to break you out of sleep is to inject hunger into your spirit. When hunger enters your spirit, you become like the deer. The Bible said, as the deer panted after the waters, it says, so my soul longeth after thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, they tell us that the deer, when it is thirsty, it can perceive the scent of water from 200 miles away. And so, a deer that is thirsty, he will be in the wilderness. He can tell you where water is 200 miles. And all you'll be hearing is, ha, 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 ha. He's looking for water. It will come to the water. It will know that there are crocodiles there. But it cannot stop itself. Even though there are crocodiles in that water, it will still go and drink. It will rather die than not drink that water. Most of the deers that are killed, they are killed by crocodiles when they go to drink water. But when they are thirsty, they can't hold themselves. The thirst is a power that breaks their will. And so when God wants to wake you up, he injects hunger into your spirit. A hunger for God that nothing can compromise. You will notice that the power of sin will die. The power of distraction will die. And you can sit with God for the whole day. Nothing can switch your attention. You'll find a man who is hungry. He can enter his closet, shut the door, off the light, and he's quiet there for 10 hours. And you are wondering, what kind of power is this? This one is not power to heal the sick. No. Because there is a realm where people are not sick. The greatest kind of power is not the power to heal the sick. The greatest kind of power is not the power to raise the dead. The greatest kind of power is the power to stay in the presence. To stay. The Bible said the four beasts, day and night, forever and ever, they were singing, holy, holy, holy. How can you be saying holy, 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 forever and ever, day and night? And you don't get tired. There's a power on their inside. The more they chant it, the more they want to chant it. The more they chant it, the more they want to chant it. That power keeps them there. And as they are doing it, the glory of God is opening to them. And they are beholding, and they are being changed. As they are beholding, they are being changed. So when they come out of God's presence, they become like the God that they have beheld. And so when you look at them, you will no longer see them. You will see God in them. Because when you tarry, God rubs off on you. That's when your generation will respect you. That's when your generation will hear you. But it will take hunger for you to journey that far. You can't travel without hunger. The fuel of the spirit is spiritual hunger. If you lose hunger, your journey stops. But when hunger is there, you can travel without ending. I pray for someone tonight. Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey, you know. I want to round up, but I am sensing a pull to summon my dimension. You see, there is something we represent in the spirit. No man is ordinary. If you know what you represent, you can call it forth anytime. You can call it forth any day. One of the dimensions I represent in the spirit is the ability to impart hunger into people. I can put it in someone. Like, Makaparakai, Yekarato Faragata, Sabara Kabina Tagava. Oh, hey, Palia. Yeah. your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign. Toward heaven, because we are out of time, I want to manage it. But here, there are some of you here tonight that the Lord is appointing to open you up to the weight of your destiny, because you are functionaries of the last day. There is a calling on your life to bring the government of God to the face of the earth. There's a calling on your life to defy darkness and the powers of iniquity. There is a calling on your life to echo the oracles of God in a demonic and a dark territory. I came to summon you. Ushers, help me. There are seven of them now that the fire of God will come upon. I speak an awakening by the Spirit. I call for an awakening. Angels of the presence, Kapakaros, Zakar, Tafila, Paragata, Mekayana, Zadagavia, Zezevali Kapa, Makora Takar. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh. Kadosh.
Maprene para kabayina madagas, zazaza, zazazaza.
Hey,
karoba na kados. Kabora Panakai Aselele Parabonde Zazafina Garata Bala Zusa Hamanai. Jesus, please hear me, hear me, hear me. Everything we do in the physical has a spiritual significance, and it also has a spiritual foundation. The significance is the purpose, the foundation is the empowerment. God sent me to set men on fire so they can fulfill their destiny. But you see, before I was ever commissioned to do that, I myself was set on fire. There is a fire that came upon my life in the days of my consecration. Tonight, there are seven of you that are about to receive that same order of baptism. You will not just be set on fire for God. You'll become an agent of baptisms of fire. Baptisms. Baptisms of fire. Father, wherever they are, now, now is the time. Now, I call for my consecrations. I summon my ordinations. I make demand on my callings, the words of my callings. Wherever they are, by the Spirit, Afele Kamato, Varak, Natavayana Suzaka, Mande Paradones, Azezelia, Timakayanda Suzak, I release that fire. Beko Ravina Kai,
Ushers, please help them for me quickly. There's about to be a ceremony here. The recruitment of warriors, functionaries with weapons of the spirit. Mangarade Gamila Kayata in the order of Elijah. Maromai Kabila Kaso. Help them, ushers, help them. A fresh baptism. Please bring them here. Bring them here. I want to lay hands on them.
Of time. See, it is now that the cloud is beginning to come down. The cloud. The weights are beginning to descend. I'm seeing three people on the gallery, especially by my right here. There's an ordination of priesthood on your life. The power to stand on the altar and to bring judgments and legislation. The judgments of Elohim to dethrone princes, to open territories. Everyone there with that ordination of the priests, the watchers, in the name of the Christ, take that grace now.
Ah, hey, hey, yeah.
Should be disadvantaged. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, it said we are the children of light. It's our inheritance to destroy darkness. The light shines in the darkness. It said the darkness comprehends it not. Everybody here has authority over darkness. You can never be a slave of the power of slumber anymore. Tomorrow evening, I will pray for the sick. And I will also empower men to go out with the miracle working power. We are out of time. There's somebody in front of me here. You are having a heart challenge. It's like there is a palpitation of the heart that causes a sharp pain. I can pick that frequency. Is there anybody here like that? You are the one? Put your hand on your chest. that affliction leaves you now. Father, now look at me. Go in the name of Jesus. Help him. Never again. Thank you, Father. Those of you here, you will never be the same again. A protocol has been activated in your heart. This hunger will overwhelm you. There are some of you, for the next 1 week, you will just be crying. You will just be crying. Because God is breaking into you. Breaking into you. Breaking into you. So that spiritual installations can take place. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew you. And there's an ordination for you. Before this conference is over, you will walk in it. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.